If you're listening to Central Time, I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Some recipes are just fundamental to the way we eat in America. Spaghetti and tomato sauce, chocolate cake, a side of broccoli. The thing is, what recipe do you choose among thousands?
Our next guest has made it a quest to scour the culinary world for what she calls genius recipes. Recipes that use maybe a new ingredient or a technique that make them game changers. She's been posting them on the blog Food 52, recipes that might become your new definitive take on things like chocolate cake, guacamole, roasted chicken, tomato sauce, you name it. The recipes come from food's big stars like Nigella Lawson and James Beard, but also from less obvious places.
Krista McGlory joins us now for this Food Friday. She's the executive editor of Food 52 and the author of Food 52, Genius Recipes, 100 Recipes That Will Change the Way You Cook. Krista, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, what makes a genius recipe a genius recipe?
That's a great question, and I get it a lot, because obviously there are lots of good recipes and great recipes out there, but there's sort of this upper echelon, I think, of recipes that will, once you make them once, they'll change the way you cook. You'll return to those recipes again and again. You may, you know, decide the technique is really wonderful and riff on it the next time, but whatever it is, it's very memorable and gives you a better way of doing something than you thought you always had to do.
And it isn't necessarily a more complicated or sophisticated recipe, right? It could be an easier way to do a thing in an awesome way.
Yes, it usually is easier, actually, in my experience. I mean, that's what's so surprising about a lot of the recipes in this book. So a really good example of that actually is the cover recipe, which is Marcella Hazan's tomato sauce. And, you know, a lot of times people think that to make their own spaghetti sauce, they have to chop an onion and chop garlic and all these herbs and simmer it for a really long time to get, you know, a true Sunday sauce. And her recipe just completely upended that. And all it is butter and an onion that you split in half and you don't even chop. And you simmer it with either fresh or canned tomatoes for 45 minutes. And you get something that tastes so much better than what would happen if you opened a jar. And dinner's ready in pretty much the same time once you've boiled your pasta and made your salad and, you know, gotten your bread out. So now tomato sauce can happen on a weeknight and you don't have to ever resort to buying a jar at the store again.
What is better about that particular recipe? I've been looking at it on the cover of your book all week. What makes that one better than a jar of something else?
It's such a true tomato flavor. It's very pure, and you'll get different results if you use fresh or canned tomatoes. The fresher ones that you get when they're really ripe in summer are going to be a little sweeter or just fresher tasting. And if you put that in the freezer in the wintertime, you'll be so happy to pull it out and have it on spaghetti sauce. So it will taste so much more like tomato and so fresh.
So, Kristen, I wonder if you had the light bulb moment. What was the first genius recipe that made you think of the concept of a genius recipe?
Well, I can't actually take credit for the entire concept. It sort of came out of conversations with the co-founders of Food 52, Amanda Hesser and Meryl Stubbs. And they had worked together for actually about 6 years on the Essential New York Times cookbook, and they had tested thousands of recipes together. And between what they had worked on and the work that we were doing at Food 52 testing a lot of recipes, we talked a lot about these exemplary recipes that, you know, people would talk about a lot and they would tell their friends about and, you know, they would talk about at dinner parties and would get so excited to share with each other because they, you know, they had something so memorable about them, like the tomato sauce. The recipe that I started the column with was a strawberry sorbet from the River Cafe in London. And that is just three ingredients and it's strawberries, lemon, and sugar. But what you do is you chop up the whole lemon and blend it in the food processor with the sugar, and then the strawberries, and the entire lemon goes in and it's not too bitter, even though you leave the pith in. And it actually makes kind of a more refined, and almost creamy strawberry sorbet by throwing the whole lemon in there. So lots of surprises, and it came out of a lot of conversations with Amanda and Meryl.
Well, I want to talk about a recipe that really just blew up, a recipe that Mark Bittman initially shared from Jim Leahy for No Need Bread. Now, everybody who's not a professional bread maker knows that bread can be finicky, and in general, it can be a lot of work, time-consuming. What's special about this one?
So this one, it really does, I mean, it says it right in the name. That's part of what was so you know, what made this recipe travel so far, I think, is no-knead bread. And anyone who bakes bread knows that, you know, kneading isn't really, you know, kneading is kind of fun, actually. So, you know, if you enjoy that sort of thing, it's the only problem is I think it's intimidating to people because they don't know if they are have done it enough. They don't know if they're using too much flour. They don't know when to stop. And this recipe took all of those questions out of the process. And I think Mark Bittman wrote, "Let time do the work." And that's exactly what this recipe does. You mix together the same ingredients that you normally would, yeast and flour and water and salt, and you just leave them to sit for 12 to 18 hours. And in that time, you know, the gluten develops and the yeast activates, and it basically kneads itself in a way. And then all you have to do is kind of flop it out of the bowl the next day and into a hot Dutch oven, and you have basically like artisanal style, you know, a country loaf that you've just made without having to know all that much about bread baking.
We've got that recipe linked at the Central Time Facebook page. It's Food Friday. We're talking with Kristen McGlory about her new book, Genius Recipes. These are recipes that once you try them, you'll never make that standard any other way a lot of the time. This is the way to do a lot of the basics. One of the ones that looked really good to me, Kristen, was guacamole. And it's a different take than I have made guacamole, and I guess it's changed a lot of people's lives. What's different about this
one? Yes. it's so funny because you look at the ingredients and you don't think that you're like, okay, that's just guacamole like I've made 100 times before. Because it's, you know, onion and lime and chili and avocado, obviously, and cilantro. It's very simple. But the way that Roberto Santibanez, the author of this recipe, treats those ingredients completely changes the outcome. And what he does is he basically pummels the chili, onion, and salt together and some of the cilantro and makes sort of a dressing almost. He basically takes them from being crunchy to being a slurry. And you can either do it in a mortar and pestle or a molcajete or just with the side of a knife. They'll basically turn into a paste pretty readily. And then you mix the chopped up avocado in. But it's kind of almost more like an avocado salad that has this really intense, flavorful sauce that you're tossing it in. And you mush the avocado up just a little bit, just so it holds together. But you get these great creamy bites of avocado, too. So it's kind of like reversing what we're used to having with a guacamole that's the avocado has turned to mush and there's all these crunchy bits in it. And it both makes the texture better and also makes those flavors kind of travel further, too, I think.
That one was interesting to me because I sort of think of a lot of lime juice as being the secret to good guacamole, but you don't really miss it?
Well, it's included optionally, which, I mean, I always do because I agree. I think it really helps brighten up all the flavors, but you don't have to.
So when people try some of these recipes, and I'm sure you've tested them on other humans, do they say, okay, yeah, this is it. I'm never going back to the way I had done it before?
Yes. I mean, and in most every case, I would say so. In fact, with the guacamole, the editor of the cookbook, Ali Slagle, said that, you know, she was being very diligent and trying a lot of recipes as she was reading my write-ups about them. And she said she made that guacamole 6 times in a week, which is borderline obsessive. But yeah, everyone who tries it, I think, tends to agree that it's hard to go back to any other way of making guacamole after you make it this way.
I think that's in my forecast for tonight, now that we're talking about it. Yeah, guacamole. Well, I want to talk about one of my favorite desserts. I'm a strawberry shortcake addict in almost any form, and you say that you have the genius recipe for strawberry shortcake, and it's got a surprise ingredient, because sometimes, I guess, mm-hmm. the biscuits get a little crumbly. What happens mm-hmm. with this one?
So for this one, which actually I discovered in sort of a fun way, a lot of these recipes, most of them came from tips from the Food 52 community or from other, you know, writers or editors in the food world. And this one was actually something that Melissa Clark had Instagrammed from the James Beard Awards because they were serving it. And she said secret ingredient for James Beard's mother's shortcakes is hard-cooked egg yolk. So, of course, I had to go look into this. And it's true. It's you hard-cook an egg and then push the yolk through a sieve, and that kind of blends into the flour. And the difference is, you know, there are other shortcake recipes where you would use an egg yolk to give richness and kind of bind it together. But they can end up a little bit tough because of the extra moisture that the egg yolk is adding. It can add more gluten and toughen up the flour. So by hard cooking it, it takes out some of the moisture but still adds in that richness and makes it very tender. So it ended up being one of the more popular recipes in the column, I would say.
We're talking with Kristen McGlory right now on Food Friday. She's the executive editor of Food 52 and the author of Food 52 Genius Recipes, 100 recipes that will change the way you cook.
And we want to hear from you on this. Do you have any genius recipes up your sleeve? Any secret ingredients that have changed your cooking repertoire that you want to pass on and share on the air today? Questions about the recipes maybe that we've been talking about too. You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation after a look at the news with Kristen Durst. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking about genius recipes, definitive versions of key recipes that might use a special ingredient or a new technique. Kristen McGlory is with us now. She's the executive editor of Food 52 and the author of Food 52 Genius Recipes, 100 recipes that will change the way you cook.
And now we ask you, Food Friday listener, to reveal your secrets. Do you have any genius recipe up your sleeve? A secret ingredient that makes something awesomer or a technique, something that saves time, makes the food better? Maybe a question about something we've talked about so far today? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll go to our caller now. We've got Ken on the line in Fort Atkinson. Hi, Ken.
I believe it's actually supposed to be Tim.
Tim, okay. A little bit of distortion maybe on your name, but welcome, Tim. What do you got for us?
A blueberry bacon cheeseburger.
All right.
Wow.
A lot of people will have said you to this recipe, and I personally have made it for a few friends, and all of them have loved it. But I make a half-pound burger, and I usually put a couple pieces of cheese on it. I like my burgers a little more spicy, so I usually use, like, jalapeno cheddar. And then I'll end up frying the bacon and everything else. And I toast a blueberry bagel. Now, you can either buy a store-bought blueberry bagel, or if you make them at home, you mix in your blueberries with the batter and you fry it up. Or bake it. I've seen some people bake it. I don't think it tastes quite as good, but some people do it. And I put cream cheese on one side of the toasted bagel, and I personally put my own other condiments on the other side, and you just put it together. So the bagel's actually replacing your bun.
Wow.
You kind of blew my mind with that one. I'm almost speechless. What do you think about that combination, Kristen? Blueberry, bacon, jalapeno burger.
It sounds pretty fantastic, I have to say.
What do you think would work about it?
Well, we actually have a sort of similar concept, something on the Food 52 website called the New England Burger. And that has, I believe, grilled apple slices on it. And bacon and cheese, and it's kind of all these New England ingredients all put together, and then you serve it with blueberry beer. So it was one of those things that we tried it at first and thought, this probably is going to be a little bit weird, but we might as well. And then we ended up all really loving it. So I can see the appeal of this one too.
All right, well,
and I think cream cheese kind of secretly like makes everything better too.
I agree with that one. Well, Tim, thank you for that. And you can join us too with your call, your secret ingredient, your genius recipe at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
And Kristen, I want to get into another recipe that we've got up at the Central Time Facebook page. Fried chicken, a standard of your American weekend meal for sure. You've got rosemary brined buttermilk fried chicken. So what's the key? What makes this fried chicken different and genius?
Well, there are a few things. This one's from Michael Rollman, and he did a lot of fried chicken recipe testing and just kind of stumbled on a fairly perfect technique. The brine has rosemary and onion and garlic in it and some lemon juice, I believe. And then so that kind of helps keep the meat really, really juicy and flavorful. And then the seasoned coating has like paprika and some cayenne, I believe, and it's buttermilk coating, and there's baking powder in it too, so it gives it a lot of lift. And just his technique and his perfection here is what makes this so good. But another thing that's really great about it is that you can make it ahead and leave it, which is just huge when you're frying chicken for a crowd. You don't want to be doing it right before they show up. So basically, he just makes it a few hours ahead and then puts it in a low oven, and it actually gets crispier. And so then you can kind of, you know, clean your kitchen actually and wash up and still have really great fried chicken to serve. And it's so flavorful because, you know, sometimes you just want to eat the crunchy skin. But here, because of the brine, everything, the whole thing just tastes amazing.
Great. Well, that one is also up on the Central Time Facebook page. And maybe you could serve with it another recipe here, broccoli cooked forever. I'm thinking broccoli mush, but this is in your Genius Recipes collection. How does that work?
I know. That one has the best name. It just, you know, it grabs people's attention pretty immediately. It almost sounds like a dare. And it's because we're, you know, especially for people who have kind of, you know, bad flashbacks to the school cafeteria overcooked broccoli. And, you know, it was kind of flavorless and mushy and kind of like a weird color. This one, it is cooked for a very long time. It's cooked for 2 hours, but it's cooked in olive oil and garlic and anchovy. And it's kind of like slow simmered in this combination of things. And it turns it into something else entirely. It's almost more like a condiment by the end. And it just brings out, because you're cooking it gently forever instead of overcooking it at, you know, a high heat, if you were steaming it or something like that, it just kind of brings out all this sweetness in the broccoli, and it absorbs all those flavors that it's simmering in. So I recommend that one.
It's Food Friday. We're getting genius recipes from Kristen McGlory and taking your standbys too, the genius inspirations you've come up with. I'll go back to our callers with Randy in Sauk County. Randy, hi.
Yeah, hi. I had a series of health problems about 25 years ago that required me to change my diet, and I couldn't just go backwards. So I had to develop stuff that I could use, you know, forever. And my wife said to me, "You take responsibility for your diet." So I did. And I came up with things like tuna steak and apricots and jalapenos, say, together in a saucepan simmered. And you wouldn't think of apricots together with tuna steak and jalapenos, but I just in desperation to come up with something that was very high protein, very low in fat, and a little olive oil in there to be incredibly nutritious, but something I could actually eat and sustain. Things like that I could have is turned out to be so good, and I've got dozens of them. Also, I can take it on a holiday, pre-made in a pan, and put it on the stove, and then everybody can have their turkey and gravy, and I can have that.
That tuna. Randy, thank you so much. Well, necessity is the mother of invention. Kristen, do people, I don't know how the pros work. Do they just take, I'm going to try these three ingredients together, see if they pop, like, I don't know, tuna, jalapeno, and apricot in this instance.
Sure, but I agree that necessity is the mother of invention, too. And I mean, I think a lot of these recipes, they come from people who've been cooking for a very long time, and maybe they just got tired of the way that they had always done something, or maybe they just made a mistake one time and realized, oh, that actually works better. I think it, in the case of these recipes in this book, they come from people who can recognize when something is a better way of doing something. And same thing with this tuna and apricots. Like, you know, there are other ways that you could go for having a healthy meal, but if you stumble on something that has so much flavor, I mean, tuna is such a, you know, flavorful cut of fish, and then it needs something bold to stand up to it. So, you know, once you start to cook a little bit more and experiment, then you get the confidence to try things that might seem a little bit outlandish, but you just have an inkling that they just might work.
So, Kristen, just briefly, there's a sweet recipe in here in which a sweet potato turns into sort of a caramel sauce. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, I love that one. It's only one ingredient, which which is so fun. There are a few one-ingredient recipes in this book. And this one is a caramel that's made with just sweet potatoes. So the sweet potatoes are sort of steamed in the oven, and then you take the cover off, and they sort of like caramelize and stick to the bottom a little bit. And then you squeeze out all of the liquid that has come from cooking them and cook that down, and it becomes a caramel just because there's natural sugars in there. And it has a lot more flavor than a caramel that you make with sugar. It has kind of like an earthy, the flavor of sweet potatoes distilled into a very sweet little package.
Well, that is genius. Kristen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
That's Kristen McGlory, executive editor of Food 52, author of Food 52 Genius Recipes, 100 recipes that'll change the way you cook. You can find two of them on the Central Time Facebook page.